speaking to you from this book of the story of the kings of Israel as they were beginning a new journey from the land of the time of wandering in the wilderness to the time when they would be with the into the land of Canaan. Joshua chapter 4. We have noted they're coming to the Jordan River, and Joshua telling Israel that they were to sanctify themselves, the third chapter, for the Lord would be pleased to manifest himself among them. And now in the fourth chapter, we find two memorials established. The fourth chapter of Joshua. It came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take ye 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man, and command you then, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and you shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men, whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe, a man. And Joshua said to them, Pass you over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon the shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, What mean ye these stones? Now, what's happening here, Israel is going to cross Jordan River. We've already noted that Jordan River is at a flood stage. This is the body of water that now separates them from the land of Moab and what I will call the Promised Land, the land of Canaan. They have previously been wandering in 40 years in the wilderness, except for Joshua and Caleb. And now they have come to Jordan River, and God has miraculously will bring them through the Jordan River, and he makes and gives instruction to Joshua that he is to do these things. 12 men, out of one man out of every tribe, was to pick up a stone, carry a stone. Seems really that they have the men, all Israel goes through the land of, goes through the river, and then these 12 men go back to the very place where the priest stood and pick up 12 large stones out of Jordan River and carry them out to Gilgal where they are to camp. And those stones are to be set up there. But you will note also that there are to be 12 stones carried back into the river as we read. Verse 7, Then you shall answer them and take the waters, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. These stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them into the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bare the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. For the priests which bare the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua, and the people hastened and passed over. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over, that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priests in the presence of the people, the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, passed over armed before the children of Israel, as Moses spake unto them. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto the battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses for all the days of his life. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Command the priests that they bear the ark of the testimony, that they come up out of Jordan. And Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, Come ye up out of Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord came up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up onto the dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned unto their place, and flowed over all the banks as they did before. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and encamped in Gilgal, in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask your fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you, until you were passed over. And the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from us before, until we came had gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. You will see in this reading that God has given and established memorials. These stones would be a means of reminding. There are two memorials established here. One in Gilgal and one in the midst of Jordan River. Now these are significant and they represent some things. One of the things very obviously that they represent is all the nation of Israel. One stone for every tribe. And God is impressing upon the nation that he is dealing with them as a nation. And you will note also that this is something that they are to remind their children. One of the things that you will gather from this and understand very clearly that it was expected of the parents that they teach their children the things of the Lord. And so they were given these memorials as a means whereby that they might remind their children of God's goodness and God's presence among them. And the last verse is a verse that we ought to all keep in mind, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. Indeed, that is something that we need to always remind ourselves and be reminded of, is the hand of the Lord is mighty. That phrase occurs several times in the Old Testament. And one of the times that it speaks about and is repeated several times in reference is when God brought Israel out of the land of Egypt land, that he did it with a mighty hand. Of course, you remember the story how that God in a miraculous way delivered this defenseless nation from the bondage that they were in. It would not be imagined that a people as weak and as feeble as these people were, the Israelites in the land of Egypt, that they could be brought out in such a marvelous way. And certainly if there was a war to be fought, if there was to be a revolution, there would be deaths involved, there would be people killed on both sides. But in the miraculous way in which God brought Israel out of the land of Egypt, none of the Israelites died. They were all saved because of the substitutionary lamb. And that again identifies and represents the people of God. We as God's elect people are saved from the judgment of God, from the wrath of God, because of the substitutionary lamb. And not a one of God's people shall die and experience eternal death. They die physically, but they don't experience eternal death. And so as God dealt with Israel in a miraculous way, and brought them out from the land of Egypt, and spared them and saved them from the bondage that they're in, they represent the people of God being saved by God's by the death of Christ on the cross of Calvary. And so it was with a mighty hand. When you look at salvation, it is the mighty work of God. He completely and totally saves his people from all their sins in a way in which it is totally without any works, all by God's marvelous and sovereign grace. And he saves us so that we are completely and totally saved. We talk about justification. And justification simply means that we are totally and completely saved. And we talk about glorification. Glorification is the consummation, the end of the work of God in our salvation. And so it is a mighty work whereby that God would save hell-deserving sinners, depraved as we are, and save us by his marvelous grace, whereby that we might be brought to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And so beginning back there, when God brought Israel to the land of Egypt, he is reminding Israel and telling us that he saves with a mighty hand, with a strong arm, that we might lean upon him, that we might fear him. That's the word that's used here. It means to reverence, to esteem him. And so when they came out of the land of Egypt, God established the Passover with Israel. And he reminded Israel in the 13th chapter of Exodus, you'll read that they were to keep the Passover as a memorial, and they were to be reminded how it was that God passed through the land of Egypt, and in so doing, he delivered them by the substitutionary death of the lamb for the firstborn. And so they were to keep that memorial every year as a reminder of God's marvelous grace in saving them. Now, I think that God knows all of us very well. The fact of the matter is, Psalms 103 says, "The Lord remembereth our frame, that we are but dust." And the Lord knows how feeble we are. And the Lord knows how forgetful we are. Of course, some of you think that you'll never forget anything. But the older you'll get, you'll find out and learn that it's harder for you to remember things that you want to remember sometimes. It's just a frailty of our minds, a frailty of our age. Some things you wish you could forget. You seem like you can't forget them. But the things oftentimes that you want to remember, you'll forget them most of the time. And God very well knows our frailties. And so he warned Israel, first of all, about forgetting him. "Lest you forget the Lord," he would say to them. And so there are reminders that God gave to Israel. And there, those reminders were means whereby that God was telling Israel, "I want you to remember what I've done for you. I want you to remember all the benefits of my salvation, what my blessings to you." Psalms 103 is a very significant psalm. David says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits." And he mentions the very first one, "Who forgiveth thine iniquities." And he goes on and talks about several other benefits that God has blessed him with. Well, David is expressing something of our minds, of the feebleness of our minds. We forget things that we need to remember. You know, I was just thinking about this through the week as I was thinking about this subject, about remembering things. Now, all of us have some good memories of our past, but I would dare to say that most of us remember some of the bad things the worst, the most. I mean, thinking back through my childhood, I don't remember so much the days of joy that I had. I remember I had some. I had a lot of good days, but some of the things that stand out the most to me sometimes were some things that were bad things that happened to me. I remember a day when I cut my foot real bad, and I remember that very well, all the details about that. I had to go to the doctor and get clamps put in my feet, in my foot. And so bad things happen to you. And it seems like it's easier to remember the bad things than it is to remember the good things. And because they're so common sometimes. You know, we get up every day and we go through our routines every day and it's a good day. And so we just had another good day. Last week, if anything bad happened to you last week, you probably remember that event more so than you remember the good things that happened through last week. Well, that's the nature of all of us. We have a tendency to remember the bad things more than remembering the good things. And so God, dealing with Israel, warned them about forgetting the Lord. Well, one of the things that he warned them about is when you come into the land of Canaan, you prosper and you gain the land and there's no more battles to be fought and no more issues and you're enjoying the luxury, so to speak, of the land of Canaan. Remember my goodness to you, lest you become fat, so to speak, and forget the Lord. Well, he set up memorials whereby that Israel will be made to remember the Lord. And here is these two memorials. And it's very clear, as I said, that these two memorials, the 12 stones, represent all the nation of Israel in some aspect, some way. And when you read the various commentaries about this fourth chapter, it ever seems like every commentator has his own interpretation, and I'll have mine today. There's no one interpretation about any particular thing sometimes that is exactly right. There are many illustrations, many stories, many applications we could gain from all of these things. But he is wanting Israel to remember some things, very definite. And he wants to remember, he wants Israel to remember that how he has dealt with them as a nation. Well, what is it then? I'll take the first, the stones that are buried in the river. What do they represent? Now they're going to come to these 12 stones that are set at Gilgal that they will see, every, so to speak, every day. These are a constant reminder of God's grace and God's mercy to them. God brought us out of this Jordan River. We passed through on dry ground. This great river, when it was overflowing, God in his mighty power separated the waters as he did the Red Sea. And we passed through here on dry ground. And they're going to be reminding themselves of all the blessings that God would have in store for them in the land of Canaan. They're going to enjoy the prosperity, the harvest, the grapes, all the things that the Bible described the land of Canaan as being a land that flowed with milk and honey. God is going to give them all that land, and they're going to remind themselves when they see that stone, that monument there at Gilgal. But what about that one in the river? It's unseen, but it's there. They don't see it, but it's there. What is the message from the stones in the river? It represents, I think, the nation of Israel that died in the wilderness. So when they come to see these stones at Gilgal, they're also to remind themselves there's stones out there in that river. They're forgotten or they're buried there. You don't see them anymore. And so they want to remind, God wants them to remind themselves of our parents that died in the wilderness. Because God warned and God promised us this great land of prosperity, and our parents didn't obey the Lord. They didn't trust the Lord. They didn't obey the Lord. And so our mothers and our fathers all died in the wilderness. They never made it to the land of Canaan. They're buried in the wilderness. Like those 12 stones. They're buried in the River Jordan. A whole nation that came out of the land of Egypt. Lost in the wilderness. Everyone from 20 years of age up. Except for Joshua and Caleb. Even Moses himself never made it into the promised land. Sad story there about Moses, because just by one transgression, he never made it into the land of Canaan. And so God is wanting Israel, as they remember the Lord's goodness and the Lord's mercy to them, he's also wanting them to remember the Lord's judgment and the Lord's chastening upon the previous nation. That nation that died in the wilderness. And the reason why God brought warning, brought chasing to them, and the reason why they died in the wilderness was because of their disobedience. They're going to soon forget that lesson, because you remember as the story as they go into the land of Canaan and God blesses them, and in due time they begin to forget the Lord. And as God warned them and told them, if you disobey my commandments and break my covenants, I'll drive you out of the land. Well, that's what happened. Several deportations, several captivities that they had to go through, but it seems like they never learned their lesson. They just kept disobeying the Lord. You'll read the book of Judges in the very next book. You'll find that oftentimes God would send some captivity, some bondage upon Israel, and they would cry to the Lord and repent of their sins, and God would deliver them. So they were people who forgot the warnings, all the stones there in the river. And you know, we look at Israel and say, how in the world could you do that? Remembering what God did for you as he brought you out of the land of Egypt, the bondage. Remembering how God fed you with the water out of the rock. Remembering how God gave you the manna and fed you for 40 years. Remembering how it was that God gave you victory over your adversary. How could you forget God? How could it be that you would be disobedient to the Lord? Well, look at ourselves. All of us, we are of the same nature. We also forget the Lord. They're warnings and admonition to us not to forget the Lord. And so the Lord gives to us these memorials that we are, whereby we are remind ourselves of the Lord and of his blessings to us. Of course, the first one that really comes to my mind and one that I think is most significant is the memorial of baptism. In baptism, we are declaring our faith in the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we are also reminding ourselves and telling ourselves and the world that we likewise died and was buried with Christ and rose again with him. But that was something that happened a long time ago. I don't remember how many years ago, you know, I'm just using illustration. We might say, oh, that I don't remember the exact date when it was I was baptized. I remember the event, but I don't remember the exact, that's something happened a long time ago. Yes, something happened a long time ago, but it's something that we ought to be constant in our minds to remind ourselves that we were buried with Christ, an old nature, and we've come alive to live a new person. We're not the same. At least we're not supposed to be, inwardly at least. And it should affect us outwardly. But there is problems that come along. And so what do? We forget the Lord. We complain against God's goodness and mercies toward us. We remember more of the bad things than we do the good things. We come to problems in our life, like Israel. They saw the land of Canaan, they didn't believe the Lord. And so they end up dying in the wilderness. We come to issues in our lives and we say, it's just insurmountable. We can't overcome it. The Lord has abandoned us. The Lord has forgotten us. And this issue, this problem, whatever it is, and so we forget the Lord, forget his goodness and mercies. And sometimes as a result of that, God has to send some kind of chastening in our lives, correcting us, reminding us that he is very much personally involved in our lives. You never had any Jordan rivers in your life? I have. Several times. Jordan rivers. To deal with. Issues. I remember one particular occasion. The details, I won't go about it. Brother Roger and I were involved in trucking business at that time. And we were having some difficulties financially in the business. And I remember I'd been up early that morning to make this particular trip. And as the truck was unloading the gas, and as oftentimes I did while that was going on, which took about 45 minutes, I was out walking around the truck and I was praying and talking to the Lord. And there was a Jordan River in front of me. I had no idea. I had no, didn't know what in the world to do. Had no way out, I thought. And I was praying and literally crying to the Lord for some help, some way or another, Lord, some help about this issue. And as I was praying, the Lord gave me an assurance that he was going to open up the river. And he did. But as I was praying also, the Lord brought to my mind some failures on my part. You know, there's a man in the Bible that we are all very familiar with, the name of Jonah. And we know what Jonah did. God told him to go to Nineveh and preach, and he didn't want to, and so he went the opposite direction like a lot of us do sometimes when God tells us what to do. I'm not going to do that. And so he goes down and pays the fare to get on a boat and heads out towards Spain. And on the way, God sends a great storm. And you know all about it, how it was that they threw him overboard. And he ends up in the belly of a whale or great fish. Of course, you know that God had this whale spit him out. And Jonah went to Nineveh. But in that second chapter, one of the things that he's praying to the Lord is, he said, I will pay the vows that I vowed you. In other words, he was saying, Lord, I will perform the promises that I promised you that I would do. A lot of times we talk about people having deathbed repentance. They get in some dilemma, some problem comes in their life, and they make God some promise. Lord, if you'll just help me with this, help me, I'll do so and so and so and so. And then as soon as that dilemma and that problem's over with, they forget the Lord. Jonah seemed like he'd done that. And I've done that many times. And all of us in some way or another have done the same thing. And the Lord brings us to a Jordan River, whereby he reminds us what we made promise of and who we are and what he promised to us. And there is a dilemma, a problem in front of us, and the only solution out of that is going to be the Lord would open up Jordan River. And he does. And we go through. And then we're on the other side. Now, what about afterwards? Well, God told Israel, build this memorial here. I want you to see stones built up here. I want you to remember what I did. And I want you to remember that the old nation died back there in Jordan River for disobedience. They broke my covenant. They didn't keep my commandments. They didn't trust me. And they're buried out there in the wilderness somewhere. And so when you look at what God has done for you, what I did for you, when you see this stone, these stones here, and this monument here, and you're rejoicing in God's goodness, brought you out of the land of bondage, and he brought you through the Red Sea, and here you are today in the promised land, you remember that your mothers and your fathers died in the wilderness because of their disobedience. And they're buried out there somewhere. And those 12 stones in the river that they never saw were means of reminding the surviving younger generation of God's faithfulness to keep his word. You know, God is faithful in everything that he ever promised to do. And we like to talk about God's faithfulness in the promises of goodness. And he is. He's always good in everything he does for his people. But in that goodness, there's also a promise of chastening. Correction. You know, I keep thinking about what old Brother Irvin Wallace said, and this is back in the 70s when I was with him a lot of times. Brother Irvin, who was an older preacher, and he would say, Brother Herb, people used to complain about Sunday Christians. He said, I'd be glad just to find some Sunday Christians anymore. Well, he's with the Lord now. Brother Urban would be greatly disappointed if the generation, the world that we now have, deal with. The tragic thing is, you know, even those that we call Sunday Christians, there are very few of them anymore. Even faithfulness to the Lord on the Lord's Day, it's hard to find people who are faithful to the Lord. And that's one of the memorials that God established, the Lord's Day. What is it? What's the purpose of it? Well, on the calendar, it's called Sunday. That's the pagan name for it. But it's not really that day, as far as we're concerned. It's the Lord's Day. Why is it called the Lord's Day? Because this is the day the Lord came forth from the grave. This is the day of his resurrection. And so to God's people, it's a very significant, very important day, more important than can be imagined. It is the day that we're reminded of the Lord's resurrection. And the majority of the world, the vast majority of the world, takes it as being a very insignificant day. It's just a day of pleasure, day of entertainment, day of where I'm free to do what I want to do, day I have off from work. I can go play ball, I can go fishing, I can go do whatever I want to do. It's my free day. No, it's not. It's the Lord's day, first day of the week. And we're reminded of that as a day of the Lord's resurrection. He died that I might live, that I might have my salvation. I am to worship him, praise him, meditate upon him today. It's his day, the Lord's day. You know, I'm a crazy thing, and I don't put much stock anymore on birth dates. Of course, when you've had as many as I had, they're just a common, ordinary thing. But the real history about birth dates you'll find is that it's a heathenistic thing. God's people through the ages normally did not recognize, did not do anything to celebrate birthdays. Now, I'm not throwing rocks at anybody. I remember when I was a kid, I enjoyed every birthday I'd have. But I'm just talking about birthdays, but not just birthdays. You know, we got Valentine's Days, and we have Grandpa's Days and Grandma's Days and Mother's Day and Father's Day. All of those, most of them, you'll find, are set on Sunday. On Sunday. Why do you think they're set on Sunday? It's to attract your attention away from what the day is really all about. It's the Lord's Day. And people get very much exercise, you know, if you forget a birthday, or you forget Mother's Day or Daddy's Day or whatever. But what about the Lord's Day? That's the memorial that God has given to his people to remind us of his resurrection, that what he did to bring about our salvation, and that we have a living Savior. He is alive forevermore. And we are to be, on this particular day especially, we ought to be rejoicing of all the things that God has ever done for us. Is he has forgiven us of our iniquities. And so Psalms 103, David says there, forget not all thy benefits, and who forgiveth all thine iniquities. The past week, whatever transpired past week, we probably still may be carrying some memories about it. And sometimes it carries over to Sunday, and it kind of somewhat dampens the day for us. But wait, it's the new day. It's a new week. And this week, this day is the day wherein that we are to be joyfully reminding the Lord of the Lord's blessings in our lives. The Lord's Day. And so God set that second memorial out here outside. And so when you come to that second monument, you're going to be rejoicing in the Lord's goodness, and you're going to come to remember how the Lord brought you out of Egypt land and brought you in the land of Canaan. God kept his word, and indeed we enjoyed this precious promised land as God said to us. But remember those 12 stones there in the river. Well, Isaiah 43, there's some verses that speak, I think, to us even today. 43rd chapter of Isaiah. Let me read to us a few words. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Now here's the verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt thy ransom, and Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the dead and gather thee from the west. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Israel went through the Red Sea. God was with them. Israel passed through Jordan River. God was with them. And here's a monument to remind them of that, that God has brought us thus far. He has not abandoned us. Though we at times have been unfaithful to him, he is still with us. He has not abandoned us. The mighty God is our Savior. And when we pass through the waters, they will not overflow you. As I said to us, there's a parallel for our learning today. We are on, so to speak, on the other side of Jordan River. We've sold our building, and we are relocating, so to speak, in that process. And where it is, we don't exactly know where that might be. And what the future may hold for us, we don't know. But here's what we do know. The God that brought us thus far is still with us. The mighty hand of the... Some of you don't remember or weren't there when we first formulated and constituted Aberdeen Printing Baptist Church. There were six of us. And I could recite for you the marvelous blessings that God has bestowed upon our congregation and upon our church. Brother Sergei is here today from Russia. There are many others whereby the God has used our church as an instrument of reaching out to these brethren and helping other congregations in other places. And I could tell you that it would take me more than an hour just to repeat and recite to you. I had a phone call this past week from Brother Guna in India, and I told him where we were at, what we were doing, and he said, "Brother Herb, tell Aberdeen Primitive Baptist Church I'm praying for them and thank them for all that they've done for me." Other preachers have sent messages to me. Tell the church that we're praying for them in this transition period. We've gone through Jordan River, so to speak, and God has brought us thus far. There's a word in using the Bible. Samuel sets it up, and it's the word Ebenezer. God that brought us thus far is with us. Here I'll raise my Ebenezer. We sing that song sometimes. Well, here is a monument that God established for Israel on the other side of Jordan at Gilgal. They had a lot of adversaries to deal with. They've got a lot of problems to deal with. Jordan, Jericho is right out here. They just crossed the river, and right out there, they can see, no doubt, probably Jericho, that big, high-walled city, that fortified city there, just across the river. That is our first battle they're going to have to fight. How in the world are we going to deal with Jericho? Well, you know what's going to happen. You know the story. March around that city for 7 days, and on the seventh day, you march seven times, and the walls are going to come crumbling down. And you're going to defeat the city of Jericho. But they don't know that yet. But one thing they are to remind themselves of, that the strong arm of the Lord is with them. He has not forsaken them. And the God that brought them through Jordan River is the God that will deal with them and help them when they face Jericho. A monument to remind themselves throughout history, throughout their future, of what God did for them when he brought them through the Red Sea and brought them through Jordan River. A memorial. Another memorial that God has established for us is the Lord's Supper. Lord's willing, next Sunday we will observe the Lord's Supper here, probably. New setting, different setting. Well, Israel, you'll find out, on the east side of Jordan River, one of the first things they do is they keep the Passover. You'll note that they came out of Jordan River on the 10th day. 4 days later, they will keep the Passover. What are they going to remind themselves about? They came out of the land of Egypt. The same God that brought them out of the land of Egypt is the God that's with them today. And so we observe the Lord's Supper. And we do it for the express reason, remind ourselves of the Lord's suffering, death, burial, and resurrection in our benefit. And reminded of that. This do in remembrance of me. That's what he wants us to do. Constantly be reminded of the Lord's presence and the Lord's goodness and the Lord's mercies toward us, because we're prone to forget. In Psalms it says, the wicked shall be turned into hail, and all the nations of them that forget God. Now think about that. The wicked shall be turned into hail, and all the nations of them, all the people of them that forget God. The characteristic of ungodly people is that they forget God. That's the reason why they desecrate the Lord's Day. That's the reason why they live wicked lives. That's the reason why they do evil things. It's because they say there is no God. They forget God. Well, we expect that of wicked people. But the tragic thing is that we as God's people oftentimes act like and we feel like that God is non-existent. We forget God. Well, we may forget God, but he doesn't forget us. Thank the Lord. And he's faithful to keep his promises to us. And he will do that. And he wants us to remember his goodness and how much he loved us. And so when we observe the Lord's Supper, we are reminding of certain things of his broken body and his shed blood for us. And of his soon coming again. We'll have more to say about that, Lord willing, next week. But these are memorials that God has put in our lives. And these are things whereby that God would have us to be reminded of his goodness and his mercies and our benefit. And in all the activities of the day and the week and that we're involved in our lives, there are things that God says to us And that is, don't forget me. Don't forget about me. That seems like it'd be unnecessary. But we are prone to forget. We sing that song, prone to wonder, prone to leave the God I love. We all could sing it just as well. Prone to forget the God that I love. Because we forget God until we come to a Jordan River. Or until he brings some correction in our lives. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. If you were to take a few minutes today just to meditate on the Lord's goodness to you in this past week, it would be a blessing to your life. You don't know, we don't know, we don't understand all that God has done for us just this past week. My heart's still beating. I know I'm anxious to go to heaven, but I'm also alive, thankful to be alive. And so I'm thankful for that. My heart's still beating. I've got all my arms, my fingers, my toes, my feet. I'm still walking. I'm not in a hospital somewhere. You read the news and heard the news this past week. There are a lot of tragedies happen. A lot of calamities happen. Soldiers killed out there in Texas. I don't know who all they were, but, you know, they were drowned. They weren't doing anything evil, but they were drowned in that flood. 700 people died in the Mediterranean Sea trying to escape these evils of going on in their country. And they perished in the Mediterranean Sea this past week. Tragedies happen. But we've been spared. The Lord's been good to us just this past week. And so we remember more the bad things than we do the good things that God's forgiven, God's done for us. And so God would set up monuments, and God would have us to remember his good things and not to dwell on the bad things that happened to us. Because even in those bad things, God was merciful toward us, gracious, because all things work together for good for them that love the Lord, who are the called according to his purpose. I mashed my thumb this past week. It's still hurting. Kind of hard to say thank you, Lord, when that happened, you know. I did it to myself. No one else did it. I couldn't blame anybody else. I mashed my own finger. That's bad. That's bad. That's kind of stupid. But even in that, I could say, thank the Lord, my whole hand wasn't there. You know, I'm glad just one finger and not my whole hand. I didn't break my hand. I broke my arm. So I'm glad it wasn't that. The goodness of God, mercy. Two memorials. God wants us to remember his chastening, his correction. We sometimes think that we can play with God. That we can just, you know, ignore him and do what we want to do and have my own way and do what I want to do, and then when I need the Lord, I'll pick him up somewhere. That's not the way God says you'll deal with me. I will deal with you according to my promises. You're my child. When you need to be chastened, I will chasten you. You know, we don't like chastisement. Parents don't like to have to chasten their children, but they have to sometimes. It's good for them. They didn't think so at the time. I remember a time my dad chasing me, and he'd tell me it hurts me more than it hurts you. I never thought it was hurting him, but I came to learn that it was hurting me to be chastened. It hurts a father to chasten his parents, his children. I came to learn that. But our Heavenly Father chastens us for our good, to prove to us that he loves us. And so there's a memorial of stones in the river. Remember God's chastening, but also remember God's mercies and God's grace. Two monuments. One in the river, one out of the river. Remember God's dealing with the nation of Israel is an example of how he deals with us individually. And may God be pleased to keep our minds set on him and not forget him. day by day. Our Father, we come to you here this morning hour, and how we are acknowledging and confessing that oftentimes we forget you, but we're thankful that you never forget us. And we pray you forgive us of our sins of forgetting you. And we pray that indeed that we will be reminded even today of your goodness and your mercies upon us. May we go day by day, Lord, rejoicing in your goodness and your grace in our lives. We thank you that you with a mighty hand brought us out of the land of bondage that we were born into and have delivered us. And we are now by your mercy and your grace on our heavenly road. Help us, dear Father, that we would walk in the paths of righteousness for thy name's sake. And when indeed that we go astray, we thank you that you recover us and bring us back in the path that we might enjoy and rejoice in your goodness. We ask that you would guide us throughout the days of our lives, that we might indeed be people that would live and show forth your grace to the world that we live in. In Christ Jesus' name I pray and ask it. Amen.